The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to our two of the Eric Metaxas Show. We continue talking to our friend, Kevin McCullough. You may know him as his real name, Votstradamus. I say it, it's a chilling thing to pronounce that word, Votstradamus. He knows all, tells all. Okay, Votstradamus, tell us more about what happened last night.
Again, I have officially dubbed this Eric is not allowed to be depressed day, even though the media is telling you that Joe Biden won last night and that Trump is finished and that everything else is going downhill. That is the opposite of what happened. And you ended last hour talking about Lee Zeldin. Let me just talk to you about the quote-unquote failed candidacy of Lee Zeldin. First of all, Kathy Hochul will take this governorship reins with the smallest percentage win of any governor in New York's history in the last 100 years. Nobody has come this close to losing their seat and still won it. Having said that, what does that mean? Well, she obviously has been sent a message that New Yorkers are tired of the crime. They've got a lot of issues about the economy, et cetera, et cetera. But in Zeldin's fervor to get to that place, he worked 19 months. He held huge rallies on Long Island and upstate. There was obviously chicanery that took place in Manhattan. That, you know, you were talking about cheating. That's obvious. It's obvious that there's some sort of, like, you know, printing press at the bottom of Gracie Mansion in the city or something. I don't know. But in all of this excitement, he pulled probably four more congressional delegates into the GOP delegation for New Yorkers than they've had in many, many years. That's amazing. In fact, New York may have 11 Republican senators out of 26 total that they could have. In fact, I think that's what the number that they're going to end on. The most optimistic.
Wait a minute. 11 Republican
congressional members.
Yes. Yeah. You know, you said senators. I got confused. So
I'm sorry. I'm 11 sorry. More congressional. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So and the most optimistic forecast I had seen was maybe 12. So to just miss on one of those and four of those seats were by 2 points or less. And it was no doubt the Zeldin energy. He came to the area. He held campaign rallies for the candidates. He did all that stuff. He got them across the finish line. So Zeldin's campaign was anything but a waste if it gives New York State four more Republican votes in the Congress than they should have had. And they almost single-handedly gave the House of Representatives back to the Republicans.
So Lee Zeldin is a national hero.
In many respects.
Yeah.
I've never seen – when George Pataki won, he had to work hard. I've never seen anybody work as hard as Lee Zeldin did in this race. So he's going to be primed for a Senate seat or maybe another shot at the governorship in 4 years. But don't count out this amazing guy. He still serves his country in uniform as part of the reserves. He's a colonel in the U.S. Army. He has served his country in Congress. He has done everything he could to make this world better. And he is just a wonderful, honest man that tells his voters the truth. There's a future for him. That's another bright spot. Let me give you one more. We have permanently ended the careers of Nancy Pelosi, Beto O'Rourke, Stacey Abrams, Evan McMullen, and Charlie Crist. Five names we don't have to listen to anymore.
It's kind of funny because I got to tell you, Beto O'Rourke, there are certain people that they're painful even to behold, much less hear, speak a few syllables. Beto O'Rourke, Stacey Abrams, and in some ways the worst, Charlie Crist. Oh, my gosh.
He's lost as a Republican. He's lost as a Democrat. He's lost as an independent. And he lost as a Democrat again. Leatherface is done. He is over. There is no more future for him. Beto O'Rourke has lost three consecutive statewide races in Texas. They are tired of him. Stacey Abrams even finally admitted last night that she's lost both of the last two governor's races in Georgia. These people are done. They're gone. There's not a place for them in the electoral process anymore, because double and triple renunciation is really a hard thing to overcome if you're a politician.
Well, that's pretty terrific. And you know what? Yes, we need to celebrate those things. And, you know, speaking about Trump, it's fascinating to me. Honestly, when everybody raves about DeSantis wouldn't have been possible without Trump. And DeSantis is liked because he's Trump-like. It's kind of funny to me when people make this kind of, you know, we're really seeing the party is changing, and we're getting leaders, hopefully like Kerry Lake and DeSantis, who really understand what the people long for and are fighting for that. And so that is something that is absolutely wonderful. So,
No doubt about it. And in fact, what he did in Florida last night, and I would draw a little bit of a contrast to what you said about, yeah, Trump made it cool to be America first again. That's what Trump gave everybody the permission
right.
to do.
Right.
But these candidates had to embrace that, and they had to go out and articulate it. It wasn't just because he, you know.
Oh, no, definitely. That's exactly
right. Gave them the sign of approval. And Ron DeSantis, unlike any other governor in the U.S., for the last 2.5 years has drawn daily fire from the White House and from the liberals inside the Beltway in ways that nobody else except Trump has drawn. So, yeah, he's similar in a lot of respects, because he's had to walk a lot of the same footsteps. And what he did in Miami-Dade County last night, he turned Florida, which had kind of gone, especially since the Trump years, had gone from, you know, pretty dark purple to a kind of a light lavender. He turned it into crimson red last night. That is going to get stains on people it rubs up against. I mean, this is Florida is such a different place, and it's because he built coalitions with Latinos. He built coalitions with African Americans. He went out and told people the truth painfully, even if his advisors told him, don't tell him that. That's not going to. And he took on the press the same way Kerry Lake does, the same way President Trump does. He calls them out. He tells them the hard truth, and he doesn't apologize for it. In many respects, he is not so much – his success isn't so much because of Trump. It's because he's so much like Trump, and Kerry Lake is going to be the same kind of person. I think she still has a shot at pulling through in Arizona, even with the corruption that went on down there. But you've got – yes, you've got a new generation of America First thinkers. They think that way. They prioritize their policies that way. They want to govern that way. And as they have success, you see what it did. He absolutely obliterated the Democratic Party in the state of Florida last night.
I mean, it is unbelievable. We saw a lot of that. I mean, in our right here in our neck of the woods, Maliatakis got like 60% of the vote in Staten Island here. You know, normally she would win with, you know, 51 or 53 maybe. But it's just kind of dramatic. It's interesting, too, to kind of figure out why some of those things went the way they did and why others didn't. I mean, in order to win, you know, you have to have the ability to make sure there's not a lot of corruption and stealing going on. And that's, to me, part of what the next phase is how do we fight against that? We've got to do something, Kevin.
Well, to your point, Florida banned mass mail-in ballots. They banned, you know, all of the COVID restriction, you know, COVID standards that people had put into other states. They got rid of all of those. They said none of these are going to be allowed here. Same thing in Wisconsin. The Supreme Court there said you can't have any of your COVID protocols in place for this election. And Wisconsin, in a place where it probably was stolen in 2020, they're going to affirmatively reelect Ron Johnson to the Senate. And the fact that they haven't called his race as we're sitting here right now means that they're just still trying to play the game.
Right.
But they're going to have to find 30,000 plus votes in places that are no longer reporting.
So you think that what is happening as we speak in Arizona is corruption? In other words, you really do believe that that's what is happening with Kerry Lake?
I I think that, well, yeah, I don't.
Because the polls had her, you know, winning pretty clearly. So when the machines break in Maricopa County and all this is going on.
The other thing you can take away from this election is these polls are garbage, especially the ones that weren't Trafalgar. Like, there's no polls that are worth their salt right now. But let me just say about Arizona. I was concerned the day after the election in 2020 that Republicans didn't come out in a hellfire blitz demanding electoral integrity in every state of the union.
Yeah.
And the states that hedged and hummed and awed the most, that's the places where you're still seeing the problems.
We'll be right back. More with Kevin McCullough, a.k.a. Votestradamus.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been.
In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. If you want to know what the left's real plan is for your kids, just look at the reaction to the work Patriot Mobile did in multiple school districts in Texas. The left is losing their minds over it. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative mobile phone provider and a force for conservative values. That's because they take a portion of your bill and fund conservative causes and candidates who believe in the sanctity of life, freedom of speech, the Second Amendment, and they're winning. Patriot Mobile has affordable plans for you, your family, even your business. They offer the same nationwide coverage as the major carriers because they use multiple major networks. Plus, you're supporting conservative values with every phone call. Go to patriotmobile.com/Eric, patriotmobile.com/Eric, or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation with the offer code ERIC. Special discounts available for veterans and first responders. Join our movement. Make the switch today and a difference tomorrow. patriotmobile.com/Eric, patriotmobile.com/Eric, or call 972-PATRIOT.
Hey, get rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get rhythm. When you get the blues, get a rock and roll.
You can call me Ray, or you can call me Jay, or you can call me Ray J. What is that one? But you doesn't have to call me Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. I love the idea that Ron Johnson from Wisconsin pulled it out. It's just unbelievable. What other good news can you share with the group while we're here?
Well, I do want to say that Ron DeSantis is responsible for someone's downfall last night. And he didn't mean to do it. He just created such a great place in Florida to go to. But I do think that the DeSantis effect kept Lee Zeldin from getting across the finish line last night. If we had had just 600,000 more voters of conservative nature that embrace conservative ideas in New York, you would have.
You actually think that many people moved to Florida?
I know that more than that many people have left New York in the last 2.5 years. And yeah, a lot of them landed in Florida. The effect of moving to where you are the most free has become the currency of the day. And you saw it first during pandemic, but then as things just continued to improve for Floridians, while New Yorkers were still being told they were going to be vaccine mandated and mask mandated and all the other kind of controls, in addition to schools not opening, I know personally more than 100 people that moved to Florida in my own circle. So, yes, I think that outgoing effect did diminish the pool of people that Zeldin would have attracted to his campaign. And who knows what would have happened if he had another 500 or 600,000 votes. But there have been millions that have left New York in the last 2 years.
Wow. I would never thought that you could say millions. That's very dramatic. I mean, the whole state is what, 24 million?
It is smaller than it once was.
That's dramatic. Okay, so what other races have we not covered? You said Herschel Walker and Warnock are likely to be in a runoff, and you're favoring
Herschel. That is going to happen. That will happen about 4 weeks from now, and I think you're going to see everything in the kitchen sink thrown into that race. I think you're going to bring Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell together, and they're all going to go. Everyone's going to go to Georgia, and they're going to do everything they can to make that a success. And I think that Walker's going to pull that out. I just think ultimately he's the guy that more Georgians will end up trusting with that seat than Warnock is. And I think that you had a little bit of tepid enthusiasm for Warnock last night, which is why the combined other two candidates beat him. But we'll see. We'll see what happens there. I am very excited about one other race. And I'm excited because I've got a personal connection to them. But to see another Governor Huckabee take the helm in Arkansas.
We haven't talked about that. That's
a fantastic thing, because not only will Sarah bring immense common sense and working across party lines and doing everything that her dad did when he was the longest serving governor in American history, when he served at that time, she's going to do it with even more America First focus. So you've got a huge win right there in the heart of the Southwest. And then you've also got, coming from Alabama, replacing Senator Shelby, you've got, for the first time from the state of Alabama, a young Republican mom that is going to assume that Senate mantelpiece there. And you're going to have more conservative women invading the House of Representatives. I was speaking with Senator Marsha Blackburn just yesterday on the Will Cal show on the Salem News Channel. And she's naming off all these people that are coming in. You've got this young, vibrant class of women that don't think abortion is the most important thing on the agenda. They're articulating that. They're getting elected. They're taking school boards. Yet one more win for a lot of communities last night. And this isn't going to be reported in the media anywhere. But for whatever the Congress did in going to the Republicans, and the Republicans may still take the Senate, Republicans and conservatives and parents of good conscience took lots of school board seats last night across the country. And on the local level, getting those school board seats, getting those city council seats, making the difference on the local level, that is where real change starts. So it was a good night last night. It was at least an A-. Whatever red wave, not red wave, whatever people want to call it, I'm not going to say it was a red wave, but it was a solid win for a country that needed a return to common sense. And it sets up a really interesting match for the 2024 cycle.
And we can't forget next Tuesday night at Mar-a-Lago, President Trump is going to make an announcement. We don't have any idea what that announcement might be.
I think he's announcing that they're changing the official cereal at Mar-a-Lago to Honey Nut Cheerios.
Actually, I think on November 15th, he's going to say, my announcement is that on November 20th, I'm going to make an announcement. What he did at that rally the other day was vintage genius Trump. I had all these people, saying to me, "Oh, he's gonna announce tonight," and I was enraged, frankly, because I thought somebody actually it was our friend Sean Foyt said that he had inside information that this is going to happen, and that the Trump's family. And I thought that would be a disaster.
It would be totally selfish
and horrifying, and so the fact that he didn't do that was. I was really thrilled.
But then read the list of everybody he had endorsed and said, please go vote for them.
Yeah.
Genius. And
no,
all the media was there to cover it.
Absolute genius. And they had the music, the swelling music behind him. That was actually bizarre. I thought, like, what is going on? Why are they doing this? I honestly don't know why somebody made this decision. This is stagecraft. We're going to have the music playing while you read this. Are they making a campaign video out of it? I don't know. When he runs when he makes his announcement next week, are they going to use this as a campaign video? Because I thought, why can't they put the music in after? Why do they have to be playing it now as he's reading this stuff? Anyway, it was an extraordinary moment. And I really do take issue with people that are, they're kind of like playing into this. And I don't know why Trump does this, but why he makes it seem like he's got this feud going on with DeSantis. It's just silly. I really don't get it. They're both such heroes. I don't think DeSantis has much of a chance. The love for Trump is huge. People want him to get his second term, and DeSantis has plenty time to get his two terms after Trump. So I don't know. I'm just not sure what's behind that.
Well, I think that Trump is hearing from people, and I don't know how accurate it is, that establishment forces are trying to recruit either Ron DeSantis or Glenn Youngkin to run against him in 24. And let me just say publicly that I would be shocked if DeSantis runs in 24. You saw what Trump did to the very good men, people like Ted Cruz and Rick Santorum and others that, you know, were on the stage in 2016. Nobody wants to go through that. Trump plays for keeps, and it's one of the lesser qualities that I like about him. But I will tell you this, if either of them get the call and say, come be my number two, they'll do it in a heartbeat. And that's going to set whoever that person up is for a really good outcome. If Trump loses in 24, they're the obvious odds-on favorite for the following cycle. And if he gets elected, he can only serve one term. So they're going to be the next cycle, potential anyway. So I don't see DeSantis having a lot to gain by jumping in. He's seen all the polls in the Republican primary field. You have three names that appear in every one of them: Trump, DeSantis, Cheney. Cheney gets 0%. DeSantis gets around 10 to 15%, and most of the rest of it goes to Trump. Yeah. And then you have a whole bunch of also rans that get 1 or 2%. It's not really a contest. He is by far the second most popular in his party. Give it time. He'll have his moment. But if Trump wants to run, he needs to announce it. He needs to put a team together. He needs to play for keeps.
Well, he's
going to
do that in a couple of days, man. Where you been, bro? Hey, honestly, I don't think – I think we have to be realistic. Trump, no one – can draw the kinds of crowds that he does. He is just, I mean, as much as I love Ron DeSantis, I just think that Trump is absolutely unique. He's a political and business genius, and it's on display. His ability to communicate the way that he does at these rallies. I mean, I'd never been to one. Have you ever been to one?
I have. I've been to three, actually.
I mean, I'd never been to one, so I was at the one.
And in very different circumstances, in New Jersey, in Orlando, Florida, and in one other one, I'm trying to remember where it was. But they are quite unique experiences. And it is very true that he has built something. The question will be, will the MAGA outdo the independents in terms of what independents are looking for? And there may be some evidence that independents were not looking for MAGA forces last night in some of those races that we were disappointed in. But overall, you're going to have an America First Congress. You're going to have an America First focus in that Congress. And I think that everybody's going to win. And to just take slight contrast with you, Kevin McCarthy is going to be a good Speaker of the House. Salem Communications have been off the record with Kevin McCarthy for many years. The guy is a solid, bona fide conservative.
He came out against impeachment just the other day. That wasn't a priority of his.
Impeachment of Biden?
Yeah.
Why should it be? What we need to do right now is hold committee hearings on all the stuff that has been done.
All right. We're out of time. Otherwise, I'd wipe
Kamala
the floor
Harris?
With you, Kevin. No, seriously. I love – it's just such a joy to have you, my friend. Thank you. We'll be
National
talking
Make
to you
Eric Happy
soon.
Day.
God Yay! Bless you. We'll be back with Dick Morris.
Tell me, Eric, why is Relief Factor so successful at lowering or eliminating pain? I'm often asked that question. The owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. So the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. Each helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. And that right there, approaching from four different angles, may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. So if you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you. It works for me. It has for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference.
Girl,
Folks, as promised, it took us a while, but our friend Dick Morris joins us to tell us what happened last night. Dick, what do you think happened? Good news, bad news? What's your opinion on the on these things?
Well, it's still happening, Eric. In Arizona and Nevada, they are still counting the votes. In Nevada, they may not be finished until Friday. In Arizona, there's been a major change in the vote count. And with each new tranche of votes that they count, the Republicans are winning them by about 60-40. So Kerry Lake has gone from being about 100,000 behind to being less than 20. And Masters has gone from being 250 behind to less than 100. And as of about 2 hours ago, or an hour and a half ago, there were still 450,000 votes to count in Arizona. So it looks very likely that Kerry Lake will win the governorship there. And it's about, and more likely than not, that Masters wins the Senate seat, although that's not as clear. And Laxalt seems to be likely to win in Nevada. So most likely what's going to happen is that the Republicans will keep control of the, will get control of the Senate without Warnock or Walker being resolved, even though that will still go to a runoff, but it'll go to a runoff with the Republicans at 51-48. The Republicans also clearly took the House. And at the moment, if it's about a 15-seat margin, which it appears to be, got to add that to the 14 seats that they picked up in 2020. So a 30-seat shift over 4 years is not bad. I think that the viability of the so-called red wave is demonstrated by two simple statistics. In Florida, DeSantis won by 20 points, and 2 years before, Trump had won by three, gain of 17. And in New York State, Trump lost by 22, but Zeldin, the Republican, lost by five, also a gain of 17. So the Republicans picked up 17 points in New York and in Florida, the third and fourth largest states in the country. And they took control of the House, and it's very possible that they took control of the Senate. So I think the red wave is doing just fine.
Well, that's all good news. I mean, of course, you don't get points for points, though, right? In other words, it's one thing to say now we only lost by five in New York and not by 22. But ultimately, we just had our friend Kevin McCullough on saying that maybe the best effect of Lee Zeldin's candidacy was to get a lot of Congress seats flipped in New York, which, of course, is fantastic.
At least three and maybe four that was significant. But there are some basic points that I want to make that go beyond the math. First, I don't think it matters much who wins the Senate as long as the Republicans have the House. The first purpose of controlling a chamber is legislative. And you're not going to be able to pass anything with Biden as president. But you can stop what he's doing, and you can stop it if you have the House. It doesn't matter if you also have the Senate. And the House is, of course, more disciplined than the Senate because there's no 60-vote rule. And I think that Biden's agenda died last night. And the way I would look at it is that Obama's third term came to an end last night. The social legislative push to the left, I think, stopped last night. The second purpose of controlling a chamber is to control the gavel so you can control investigations by committees. And you only need one gavel to hit Biden over the head. You don't need to.
This may be the most exciting thing that we've got folks like Jim Jordan in the House who understand that we need to get to the bottom of tremendous corruption, chicanery, whatever terms we want to use, crime. And now they're going to have the ability to do that. That is an astonishing piece of news, which hasn't been said very, very much as we're dealing with what happened last night.
The next 2 years, I think that the Democratic scandals over Ukraine and China and Hunter Biden's laptop and the politicization of the FBI and the Justice Department are likely to be major items over the next 2 years. And then I'd like to put this whole thing into a perspective in terms of the likelihood of a Trump victory, a Republican victory in 24. The Fed is raising interest rates quickly and dramatically, and will continue to do so because inflation is not abating in the slightest. And you're probably headed toward a situation very reminiscent of 1980 to 82 and 1992-93. In both of those cases, the Fed raised interest rates enormously to deal with inflation caused by Carter in the first instance and by caused by Carter in the first example. And in each of those cases, the increases in interest rates brought on a dramatic recession. And that recession cost George H.W. Bush's job and Jimmy Carter his job. And I believe that the recession that's likely to come about as a result of very high interest rates will, of course, cost Biden his job and probably deliver the election to the Republicans.
That is huge news. We're going to go to a break. We've got Dick Morris for the rest of the hour. Lots more coming up, folks. Don't go away. With the overturn of Roe v. Wade, lots of companies are coming out saying they'll pay for employee abortion travel and expenses. Most of you have heard about some of these companies. You've decided to stop shopping or doing business there. But did you know that you most likely own stock in those companies through your 401ks, IRAs, and other investment accounts? Folks, this is a huge problem, and we need to do something about this to send a message to Wall Street through our investments. You need to go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric and get a free Inspire Impact Report. This biblical investment analysis will educate you on what's really in your investment accounts, like companies paying for abortion travel. You need to go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric to connect with an Inspire Advisors financial professional who can run your report and help remove companies paying for abortion travel today. Go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric. That's inspireadvisors.com/Eric. Advisory services are offered through Inspire Advisors LLC, a registered investment advisor with the SEC. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company it is today. Now Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to my listeners. That's you. The Percale and Giza Dream bed sheet sets are available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're now all on sale for as low as $29.98 with our listener promo code. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale and Giza Dream sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer, because there's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-978-3057 now and use the promo code ERIC, or you can go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use the promo code ERIC. This offer will not last very long. They're known to sell quickly, so order now with promo code ERIC at MyPillow.com. Promo code ERIC at MyPillow.com. Folks, it's my joy to say that we have Dick Morris on the program helping us process what happened yesterday and what is still happening today. So, Dick, please continue your analysis of where we are. You just said about the recession that is sure to come and how that will help get probably, I would say, and you would say, Donald Trump elected to his second term, which I'm looking forward to with bated breath.
Well, let's say, look at the election of 1932, when Roosevelt defeated Hoover easily. And I think that's what you're looking at in 24. You can't go through what this country is going to have to unfortunately go through in the next 2 years. Recession is a mild word. It'll be a depression, could be a great depression. and you're talking about massive unemployment and continued inflation, and on top of that, energy prices high. So I think that it'll be a disaster for the Democrats in 2024. So if you look at the overall picture, I think it's quite good. There has been this the scuttlebutt during the day yesterday, fomented by the press that wants to create a DeSantis versus Trump primary because they see that as the best way of keeping Trump out of
right.
the White House.
Right.
It's their second choice. Their first is indict him through Merrick Garland, but they see that might not work. So now they're working on a primary fight. And it's important to understand what the stat I said earlier in the show. The Republicans gained as much in New York as they gained in Florida. So statistically, 17 points in each state. So to attribute this to, if you listen to the news last night, it was the whole country no longer has a red wave except for Florida, where DeSantis is leading the pack. In fact, Florida and New York were identical, and it shows Trump's leadership ultimately, not DeSantis's. The wave was set in motion by Trump. And I want to emphasize that the overall point here is that we Republicans stand either to go down the path of a vicious primary that'll split our party in half and make Democrats electable in 2024, akin to Ted Kennedy's challenge to Jimmy Carter in 1980 that led to Reagan's victory, or a nomination of Trump, which is in conformity with the views of the overwhelming majority of the Republican electorate, and will be part of a glide path to winning in 2024. And it's important to make that decision. And those who say that they like Trump's policies, but they can't stand him personally, and maybe we need someone lighter than DeSantis, you're kidding yourself, and you're setting yourself up for a fiasco.
I completely agree with you. And I do get annoyed when people just don't see really how genuinely unique Trump has been. There is no one, having been to my first Trump rally just the other day in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, there is no one, absolutely no one, DeSantis included, that begins to come close to his ability to connect with the working men and women of this country. He has an ability to inspire and to entertain that I've never seen in my lifetime. I mean, people, you know, have raved about Reagan and others. No one comes close to Trump and his abilities to do that. And I really think that he deserves his second term, since I'm convinced that he won his second term and it was stolen from him recently. And so I have very little patience with people that think we should move on from Trump. I don't know what we would move on from. He's been an amazing leader, and we wouldn't have done as well as we did yesterday if it weren't for Donald Trump. That seems clear.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. So so I think that the other point that I would make is that if their red wave is being attenuated, which it's not probably, it's going to be overwhelmed by a green wave of money from the high-tech and media billionaires. We're used to the idea of the fake news media attacking Trump and attacking the Republicans. But when you look at the financial advantage that the Democrats had in these elections, it is truly and completely astonishing. It's beyond belief. And I think it's very important that we understand the magnitude of that difference. In these races, the Democrats were outspending the Republicans by 3 and 4 to 1. And it was all big money from the tech billionaires who were dumping money in and thinking they can control the election. And that's a reality we just have not focused on, but we need to. We've looked at how big tech censors us, and we've looked at how the news media biases us, but nobody's really looked at the fact that the tech billionaires really tried to control the country this year.
That's interesting. It's it's an ugly thing to think about when I think about how that happened. And then the Rhino establishment forces that did not go to bat for people like Doug Mastriano.
Right.
Very upsetting. I'm not sure what we're going to do about that. But I also have to touch on the idea of corruption, stealing. I cannot believe that, for example, Fetterman got the votes that he did. The man is a husk of a man. He barely can speak. The idea that he defeated Dr. Oz is just hard for me to take in.
Well, I have two perspectives on that. The first is that I think that we have to understand that one of the strategies the Democrats used to win the elections in 20, if they won them, and to win what elections they won in 22, is early voting. And the Republicans were allergic to early voting. They absolutely refused to early vote by mail because of their bad experiences in 22. And even in person vote, early voting, Republicans tended to be defeated. So we went into these races in Pennsylvania, for example, down by about 700,000 votes before the first vote was counted in Republicans underperforming Democrats in the early voting. In Pennsylvania, I think the moment the polls opened, the early voting that had gone on for the preceding weeks had given Fetterman about 700,000 votes and Oz about 100,000.
We were going to go to a break. Folks, we'll be right back. Final segment with Dick Morris. Don't go away. Folks, welcome back. Final segment with our friend Dick Morris. Dick, what else do we need to talk about in terms of where we are as a nation after last night?
Well, I made the point in my book, The Return, Trump's Big 2024 Comeback, that early voting is decisive in these elections. The Republican Party has been based on the George Bush model of 2000, where you do everything on election day. And the advent of massive early voting has galvanized and changed the Democratic strategy, but not the Republicans at all. So in Pennsylvania, in early voting, Fetterman got 700,000 votes and Oz 100,000. So they went into election day down by 600,000 votes. Similarly, in New York State for Hochul against Zeldin. And the Republicans can't let that happen. Republicans were allergic to early voting by mail because they felt hurt in 2020 with that, and they wouldn't even vote early in person. And the Republican Party has to get over the idea that that you can vote on election day and that's it.
You don't think we should try to abolish early voting in whatever states we can abolish it?
No, I don't think you can or should. I think there's no reason to ban early voting. It's a matter of choice as to when people vote. I don't think you should have it 2 months before, but I think for a week or two before, I think it's fine. And we just have to win under those rules. And it's an indulgence to sit back and wait for a big crescendo on election day. It's just not modern. It's just not the way the game is played these days. And the second point that I made in the earlier segment is that the Republicans let themselves be totally overwhelmed by big tech money, Silicon Valley billionaires who wrote huge checks to win elections. And you go into these elections like, I don't have the stats in my mind, but I looked at them a few minutes ago. You would go into a state like Connecticut, where Blumenthal spent about $30 million and Leora Levy spent about six. Or Johnson being outspent in Wisconsin, or in Kerry Lake being outspent in Arizona, not by small margins, by tens of millions of dollars, 2-1, 3-1, and 4-1. And the Republican wealthy people, and also the grassroots donors, are to blame for not having more of a red wave, because they simply did not give the money that they needed to give to win the election.
It's a curious thing. Why would that be? I don't quite understand that.
I think complacence. I think self-indulgence. I think the Democrats were motivated by esoteric concerns like climate change that dominated their thinking. And I just don't know the answer to that. But the Republicans had better get their act together.
Well, we've got less than a minute left. You think Carrie Lake will pull it out in Arizona?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident of that. I don't know about Masters, but he might. But as I said, control of the Senate is a luxury. The necessity was control of the House. And we did that. And that's what will make all the difference over the next 2 years.
And what is the first investigation you think that they should apply themselves to?
Hunter Biden and a laptop, obviously.
I think it's going to be very interesting. I don't know who will be leading that charge, but there are a number of good folks in there, a number of real heroes.
I think so Jordan will probably be doing it.
And yeah.
He's great with that.
Yeah. And a man of profound Christian faith. I just have to say I'm hopeful. Dick, thanks so much for being able to come on this program. We end much more positively than we began. Thanks again. And folks, we'll catch you tomorrow. Thanks.
Thank you.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.